I tend not to read too much in the way of business books because I know that my colleague Bruce Whitfield, who does The Money Show, is regularly talking to the authors of business books, and he regularly has people like Ian Mann coming onto his program and reviewing the books that are out there. So I might well have given Chip War by Chris Miller a miss, simply because I didn't want to do an interview and undercut what my financial services colleague would be doing. But then the publicist for the publishing house here in South Africa said, John, you've got to read this book. And so I did. And I found it absolutely fascinating. And I'm delighted. It was, by the way, the Financial Times' choice as the best business book of 2022. And I'm delighted to be joined by its author via Zoom. Chris Miller is an assistant professor of international history at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. And Chris, it's morning your time, so let me say good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Would it be fair to say that the sort of the prime contention of your book is that the manufacturing of chips plays a much bigger role in global geopolitics than most people would imagine?
Well, that's right, and especially as tensions between China and the United States intensify, the fact that the world's biggest and most technologically advanced chip maker sits in Taiwan as a level of geopolitical threat hanging over the global economy. Today, the entire world is dependent on Taiwan to produce 90% of the world's most advanced processor chips, the type of semiconductors that end up in smartphones or PCs or telecom infrastructure or data centers. The world economy simply can't run without chips made in Taiwan.
And therefore, if China does decide to invade Taiwan, and I wouldn't say that there's increasing speculation that that is about to happen imminently, but it perhaps seems more likely now for all sorts of reasons than might have been the case a couple of years ago. At least part of the reason, and perhaps a very significant part of the reason, would be to get its hands on those chips and that chip manufacturing capacity.
Well, the challenge China faces today is that it's hugely dependent on importing semiconductors. We think of China as a manufacturing superpower, and in some ways that's true. But right now it spends as much money importing semiconductors each year as it spends importing oil. And most of those chips are imported from Japan, from South Korea, from the United States, but above all from Taiwan. And that's why Taiwan is so important to China, not only for the obvious geopolitical reasons, but also for China's economic and technological advances.
And I mean, the book talks as to why it is that that China is so far behind, and why Russia is further behind than it would like to be. And it introduces this extraordinary character. And again, I suppose because it's not a beat I cover very often, I had only the vaguest idea who Morris Chang is, but Morris Chang is the reason why Taiwan is as far ahead as it is in this arena.
Well, that's right. He's the most underestimated business person of the last century, in my view. He was born in mainland China, moved to the United States after the communists took power in 1949, and helped build up the U.S. chip industry from the 1950s. For the 1980s as a senior executive at Texas Instruments. But then in the late 1980s, he was approached by the government of Taiwan to build up that country's chip industry. And he founded TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, and made it the world's biggest and most technologically advanced chip maker. And so in some ways, he's the most important person, not only in the world's chip industry, but in all of the world's tech sector, because everyone listening to this show today will touch a TSMC product every day of their lives, in their phones, in their PCs, in their car, or in the data centers that increasingly make communication possible. So everyone relies on Morris Chang for their daily life. And for the global economy, it's unthinkable to imagine a world without TSMC, the company that he created.
And I'm not sure that you can blame Texas, the people at Texas Instruments, refusing to give him or declining to give him a job in the late 1950s after he'd done an engineering degree at MIT and then a PhD at Stanford. But it was very much Texas Instruments and the USA's loss and Taiwan's gain. Now, it's just another one of these interesting little footnotes which have such profound implications these decades later.
Well, that's right. And today the implications really are dramatic because TSMC produces chips that no one else can match. And it's not only civilian products like smartphones or PCs that rely on TSMC's chips. It's also military products like autonomous drones, for example, or advanced missile systems also use products from TSMC. All of the world's militaries, as they think about applying artificial intelligence to military systems, need access to the types of ultra advanced chips that can train AI systems and data centers. And TSMC is by far the world's most advanced producer of these types of semiconductors. So Morris Chang sits at the center, not only of the world economy, but also of an accelerating arms race, especially in the Asia Pacific region. And that's why I titled the book Chip War. It's not only a battle between companies for market share, it's also a battle between militaries for advanced technology.
And the Soviets were very interested in what was happening in the chip, the semiconductor space in the late 50s and early 60s. And again, they're fascinating bits of history uncovered about the espionage and Americans passing on semiconductor secrets to the Russians, who decided to copy the Americans rather than come up with their own ideas. And that probably, as you write, was a significant factor in setting them back.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because in many industries, copying works pretty well. But the chip industry is defined by Moore's Law, which was set out by Intel founder Gordon Moore in 1965 and predicted that the computing power of chips would double every year or so. And what that means is that the chip industry races ahead at a rate that other sectors of the economy simply can't imagine. Consider, for example, how different the world would be if airplanes flew twice as fast every 2 years, or houses were built at twice the size for the same cost every 2 years. There's no other sector of the economy that has comparable productivity gains. And yet the chip industry has delivered that year after year. And what that's meant is that copying has been an extraordinarily naive strategy, because being several years behind or a half decade behind is a strategy for not technological leadership, but rather the opposite, being dependent on other countries. And that's exactly what happened to the Soviet Union. And interestingly, it's what's happening in many ways to China today.
And Europe, I mean, Europe in many ways is a world leader when it comes to manufacturing things like motor cars and other sort of slightly bigger things than semiconductors, microchips. And yet they were very slow off the bus as well.
That's right. There were some European firms early in the industry who tried to play a bigger role. But over the past several decades, Europe's position in chip making has shrunk dramatically. And today there's really just one company in continental Europe that plays a critical role in the chip industry. And that's a firm in the Netherlands called ASML, which produces ultra advanced machine tools without which it's impossible to make an advanced semiconductor. But beyond this one firm, which is absolutely critical, Europe plays a pretty small role in the chip industry.
And the signs of the current balance of power changing significantly in any way in the next couple of years? Are there centers emerging? There's a lot of IT intelligence in places like Estonia and those former Baltic former USSR states. Is there anywhere around where you go, that's one to watch, that might upset the balance as it is at the moment a little?
I think the biggest shift that we're seeing right now is that advanced economies like the US, the European Union, Japan are pouring substantial sums of money into trying to rebuild their own chip manufacturing. Because today, if you want to make an advanced chip, you need to acquire design, software tools, machine tools, ultra-purified chemicals from Japan or the US in many cases, almost all cases. But the actual manufacturing happens in Korea or in Taiwan. And that's something that, as tensions escalate in East Asia, a number of governments are trying hard to change, both by putting more money into their own domestic industry, but also by pushing companies to diversify the geography of where they make chips. And the company that's most exposed to this pressure is the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, which today produces almost all of its chips in Taiwan.
And if that balance were to change, if instead of just, you know, single figure percentage manufactured outside of China, it moves to 50-60% being manufactured in other geographies, that's surely a better prospect for the earth and the constant supply of these things that are so critical to our economic and social well-being.
Well, I think that's right. As risks of a China-Taiwan war have grown and as China's military power has expanded dramatically over the last decade or so, I think people have begun to consider what would happen to the world economy if there was a conflict that cut off Taiwan's chip exports. And the reality is that it would be the most dramatic disruption to global manufacturing since the Great Depression in the 1920s. And 30s, everything depends on chips from TSMC. It's not only smartphones or PCs, but automobiles have hundreds or thousands of chips inside, and many of those are made in Taiwan. The same thing is true for dishwashers and microwaves. And so the world needs a more geographically distributed base of chip production because the risks that China attacks Taiwan are growing. And that's the final aspect of the title Chip War, is that there's a growing risk that war in East Asia disrupts the chip supply on which the modern economy is simply completely dependent.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Really, really interesting interview about a fascinating book. The book is called Chip War, and the author is Chris Miller, Assistant Professor of International History at the Fletcher School of Law.